This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No.
I hated that whole American expansion thing. I absolutely detested every single second of it, man. So okay. I don't have much positive to say about it.
How about that?
I'm glad that we opened up that can of worms, by the way, because I'm looking at your career here. You were an all-star in 92 and 94, all-Canadian in 92. What did you hate?
96, 97, 98, 99, too, I think.
Yeah, but who's counting?
That's not on the thing you're looking at?
No, you got to go update your Wikipedia. Your Wikipedia hasn't been updated since 1994, Troy.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, welcome, everybody. Welcome. I got no breaking news. I just needed to ring the bell. We welcome the national TV audience on Game Plus. That was Troy Westwood, by the way. The Winnipeg people would recognize his voice from TSN 1290.
That's right.
And the Blue Bombers, great. I'm a little annoyed today, and it's nobody's fault, really, but my own, for allowing myself to get into this juxtaposition. And in a minute, we'll get into why. We had a great hour one over on Facebook Live. I should tell you that we had, from DraftKings, the great Johnny Avello, handicap expert, sports handicapping betting from Las Vegas. And he's trying to sort out, as are you. Again, I'm not annoyed at you. I'm annoyed at this Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight and all the stupid rules that have been put in just because they're old. Why can't they go out and fight like a couple of pro boxers?
I know.
If there's money on the line, why are they going to put all these conditions on it?
I don't know.
It's dumb. And then the quote that's making the rounds hardcore came from the head coach and general manager of the Estevan Bruins, an iconic Junior A hockey franchise in this country. And I'm actually going to get to that in the Quick Six show topics, what he's referring to. And part of the reason I'm annoyed is this. In the province of which we live here, where the show's emanating from, the sweatpants capital of the world, here's the news story that's come down from less than 24 hours ago. Saskatchewan is restricting the number of people allowed to sit at a single table in bars and restaurants to no more than four. For the next 3 weeks, Premier Scott Moe announced a slew of added public health measures to try and reverse the rise in COVID-19 cases. All team sports and group activities are suspended. However, athletes and dancers under the age of 18 may keep practicing in groups of eight. Health officials are reporting 164 new cases of COVID-19 in this province. Moments after that came out, the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League issued a statement that said, with the announcement today, the SJHL will not be playing any games after Friday at 12:01 a.m. until after Christmas. And that's a kick in the junk for us, too, because we were going to be broadcasting Friday night's game of the month. It's a kick in the junk for everybody. So that's why I'm a little annoyed. So just to mention the names, you hear the Premier's name. It's going to come up here in the Quick Six show topics. And before we get to them, I'll just tell you that Gino Ojic will be with us later on in Block 2, the Vancouver Canucks great. But we're going to find out how great is he, because he's not on the Canucks Ring of Honor yet. And there's a campaign that Marcia McNaughton has put together and that, to get him on there. And the two of them are going to join us. You Vancouver people, you people in Vancouver and BC, can you write in and tell me if Gino Ojic should be on the Ring of Honor? Why the hell not? So let's get to the Quick Six show topics, please. And thank you, Jordan. People are writing in about Thanksgiving football. That is my number one topic. We are 30 minutes away from kickoff at Ford Field in Detroit. The Lions and the Houston Texans. Are they calling this the Toilet Bowl?
It might
be. Two bad teams.
Might be.
Always is a battle of two bad teams on Thanksgiving in Detroit.
I know. Romeo Crennel, he's the interim coach in Houston. He's like, Matt Patricia and I, we could probably go cry into the same bucket because neither of us are going to have jobs at the end of the year.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's the NFL and everybody watches, right?
That's right.
That's the truth. And then at 3:30 p.m. Central, where we are out here in the heartland of the CFL, it's the Washington football team at the Dallas Cowboys. And again, this will be like watching two old people have sex. But it's the NFL, so we'll watch it.
Intently.
Two more bad teams. So that's what's going on in the National Football League. Point two, which I read it off the top, Saskatchewan shuts down sports. However, bars, casinos, and bingo halls will remain open. Figure that one out. And so the head coach and GM of the Estevan Bruins, Jason Tatarnik, came on here last hour, and his comments were these. His franchise has already lost between $300,000 and $400,000 already this year. What do you think this shutdown's going to do to his franchise? And then he said, what do I tell my players? I don't know what to tell them. They followed all the rules. They did remote learning. They've stayed out of, they've conducted themselves safely, and now we're telling them they can't play. I don't have the answers. Maybe Premier Scott Moe has the answers, or his chief doctor, Dr. Shahab. So there's a lot of unrest in this province, just like there are in all your provinces. And the crappy thing here is the Premier Scott Moe, who I would consider as a personal friend of mine, is just going by the advice of his medical people. That does not get him off the hook with the hockey people or the dance people or whatever. So 10 months into this thing, we're really no further ahead. It just seems like we're hurtling on the highway to hell. Point three, Canada's World Junior Camp paused. For how long, we don't know, but there was two players test positive for COVID on Tuesday. The entire works have been gone into quarantine for 14 days. But I guess the amateur doctor, the Google doctor that I am, I guess by this weekend, if they all get tested and they're all negative, they can probably go back onto the ice. They don't have to wait the full 14 days.
That'd be right.
So it's paused. But as Ryan Rashog and Craig Button said on TSN Sports Center this morning when I was watching it, it's not a true bubble in Red Deer. So don't call it a bubble. This is going to happen, right? And they were prepared for it.
Yeah.
They don't like it. But it's happening all over in every league. Point four, soccer legend Diego Maradona passing away at the age of 60. You see, the country of Argentina has announced a three-day mourning period for Maradona. I'm not a soccer guy. I've said it a million times. Doesn't mean I don't respect what he's done. And I just, the hair went up on the back of my neck. And I've calmed down a little bit. What have I talked about? When you're triggered, you need to realize what, why are you triggered?
Yeah.
Why are you so upset?
What's your role, right?
Right. So I'm not as upset as I was when I first saw it, but I saw the TSN soccer analyst say, Diego Maradona had much publicized addictions issues. Will this affect his legacy? Triggered! Like those of us that have had addictions past and struggles will not be defined by those struggles. We'll be defined by our ability to overcome them and the road to victory over addiction, which Diego Maradona found. And it reminds me of the same thing with Theo Fleury not getting inducted. Gino Retta said it for the Hockey Hall of Fame. When this was coming up last year, Gino said, well, there's a stigma around Theo. A stigma because why? He was a victim of child sexual abuse, which that trauma led him to addictions. Really? That's why we're keeping him out? So anyways, yeah, I do get triggered over this because we're not going to wear this scarlet letter for the rest of our life when we overcome these problems and get sober. Is it a fair question to say, will this affect his legacy, by the way? Am I completely offside? What's that got to do with playing soccer?
I mean, it's part of who he is. Great.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it could taint a legacy unless, I mean, he did a whole bunch of illegal activities and really tarnished the game and had all this negative effect. You know, if, you know, I go back to Theo, I mean, he accomplished all that while dealing with that? Like, that increases his accomplishments, in my opinion.
That's what I've told him.
Now, if he burned towns to the ground, burned franchises to the ground, you know, ruined other players' careers and had all this negative effect, to me, it sounds like he only had a negative effect on himself, for the most part, in those situations.
Well, right? There are those in halls of fame and in leadership positions that are doing all those exact things and don't have addiction to blame. You know what I mean?
I do.
One of the Sutter brothers, I won't say which one because he probably doesn't want me to out him that way, but he goes, there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that I would not allow to walk my grandchild across the street. But I guess because he wasn't an alcoholic, he's a great guy.
And he scored 400 goals.
Yeah, he scored 400 goals. Jaime Garcia watching. He says, when he was criticized, he said, I don't want to be a role model. I am a kid from El Barrio who just wants to play. Now, that's where he's wrong. Unfortunately, people do look up to you in those roles, but it's a lot to live up to. Moving on. I think I got that off my chest.
Yeah.
Adequately.
That's good.
That's why they call people that do what I do an advocate, because I advocate for those who don't have a voice. Point five, NCAA basketball on TSN. Are you enjoying it? Have you watched it?
Yeah, I have a
little
bit.
Started kind of airing it live, because the science is different in NCAA schools, because they can play. And frankly, I enjoyed it. I watched the game from Sioux Falls, South Dakota last night in an empty arena. The action was great, and my mind was going back to the 4 months this summer. Remember it? Where there was nothing going on anywhere. Back then, we would have died to have college basketball to watch.
Oh, I know. And now the virus is almost being used as a tool in college football for teams to try and sneak their way into the playoff or into a better bowl game position, because if you're undefeated, you know, you have a better chance, right? Based on the science, the math and everything else. So, you know, there's teams that are saying, well, we have a COVID possibility here. And it's like, no, you don't. You just don't want to play Alabama this week and you want to stay undefeated.
Right.
Right. And so we're seeing a little bit of that in college sports, you know, where they don't want to play Clemson and, but not to make light of the situation. But yeah, they're playing full steam ahead.
And it's fun to watch.
It is.
Back to Diego Maradona. Jack in Alberta says, Rod, you know as well as I do, because we lived it. People who haven't walked that walk do not understand what it takes to get sober. It's really hard. And people that think that we chose to suffer from addiction, why would you choose to have this devastation in your life? We didn't choose it. So it's very hard to win that battle. And once we win it, we don't need you people rubbing it in our face and holding it against us for the rest of our lives. I'm not judging you. Don't judge me. Rob Williamson says we should not punish people for being honest. What would be worse is pretending to be perfect and shoving your vices in the dark with no help. Oh, yeah. But that's the cancel culture thing. You're not perfect. You're done. I'm unfollowing you and telling everybody not to follow you anymore because you're not perfect. You see a lot of that, eh?
Too much. Way too much.
Cancel culture. Point six is 2-1. It's your lucky day. Point A and B. From the Canadian Press, what I was reading this morning, the United States, Germany, and the United Kingdom will get vaccines ahead of Canadians because they manufacture the vaccines in those countries. We're not manufacturing the vaccines in Canada. Therefore, we'll be back of the line of those other countries. We should add up all the population. They're all going to get it before us.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see why the Blue Jays are going to play in Buffalo this year. You're going to see why the Raptors are playing in Tampa. And probably why the CFL, if they make it onto the field, it won't be in front of fans because of this. And Justin Trudeau is under fire for this. Go read your local newspaper as to find out why. That's point 6A. 6B, a CFL note, the Ryan Rigmaiden has rejoined the BC Lions. A good CFL note there. And the little bit that we talked about it last hour really got the comments going. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Again, the CFL fans would love for us to sit and talk about the CFL all day, every day, but I don't think the CFL would love for us to do that, and I don't want to do that, but that's the one news item out of the day, and it doesn't maybe mean a lot to you, but it means a lot in the football world, in that this is a U.S. director of scouting for a CFL team who lives in Spokane, Washington, one of my favorite cities in the world. He had been with the he started with BC, then he was, from what I understand, went to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for a time, won a Grey Cup there, and now he's gone back to the BC Lions. It's all positive because it's telling you that it at some point will be business as usual in the Canadian Football League. Guys are getting hired. Guys are moving up. I saw somebody put on Twitter the other day. Actually, it's our good friend Steve Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter, at SportsGeek22. He says, how come the Lions haven't named G. Roy Simon as the GM yet? And I'm thinking, what's the rush?
Hire
him. Because then you're going to have to give him a raise.
Hire him to do what? Nothing to do.
Yeah. What's the rush?
Yeah. Not yet.
So, there's a lot. Oh, there is a lot going on in the Canadian Football League behind that curtain that we talk about all the time. And as we head into the pandemic and into the winter months, I'm just going to let them stay behind the curtain. We got other things to talk about. Zach Nelson's watching in Calgary has a good question. Which head coach in the NFL do you guys think is on the hot seat? That is a good question. Who was the first coach fired? It was O'Brien, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the odds weren't even on O'Brien.
Right.
I think it was Adam Gase with the Jets, I think.
Yeah.
He still got a job.
He still got a job. Adam Gase of the Jets. You know, Atlanta, right?
Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn.
Right.
But I look at Dallas and Mike McCarthy.
Should have been caught.
I look at Detroit and Matt Patricia. That a long lead.
Todd Pink, you know, Pinks.
Yeah.
From our slow pitch team, he writes in, he says, any coach in the NFC East. Anyone coach of those terrible, not Ron Rivera, he's battling cancer.
Yeah, Ron Rivera, not his fault. Fine. The Giants are actually sneaky good. They're okay. I think with Doug Peterson, anytime you win a Super Bowl, you've got a pretty decently long leash.
Apparently not.
Running out, but it's still, I think he's still okay, as surprising as that is. In Minnesota, I don't think they want to fire the coach. They just want to get rid of the quarterback.
Yeah.
So maybe Chicago, too, if they don't get things together.
You know, it's interesting. People really loved the talk last hour about NFL Canada. I'm getting emails from NFL Canada every day. These guys are aggressive. They've started a podcast, NFL Canada. Doug Drabel hosts it. And on the very first edition, from what I've seen, he's talking about Chase Claypool should be named Rookie of the Year already. And that's a little presumptuous. And then our American viewers, because a third of our viewers are American, chimed in and said, thank God your guys are waving the flag for Chase Claypool because nobody is down here. Because down there, nobody cares if you're Canadian or American. It's only an issue up here.
It's only if you're good.
You would go tell the average American football fan right now that Chase Claypool's Canadian, and they would go, and?
That's nice.
They don't care. You know, for those American viewers, you understand this is a Canadian thing. Oh, Dan Aykroyd, he's Canadian. John Candy, he's Canadian. You know. Jim Carrey's Canadian. Shania Twain's Canadian. We always need to point that out. The Americans don't care.
They don't care.
So anyways.
They don't care where you're from.
They don't care. It's just a big Canadian hang-up. You want to talk about stigma? We're Canadian, you know! The warm-up is brought to you by the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Warm up at the Four Seasons, Saskatchewan's original sports bar. Your home of the NFL. And maybe Tyson Roy Jones on Saturday night. I'm still waiting to hear back from the Four Seasons to see if they're showing it. We
All
might
right.
be going there. Gino Ojic next. And Marcia McNaughton. You BC fans, perk up. And all NHL fans, that's right after this break. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. This Thursday get-together continues. Your morning coffee session. Thanks for joining us. And to the Eastern Canadians and Eastern Americans, good afternoon and happy Thanksgiving. We do have some breaking news today. Seems like every news is bad. Have you noticed? Larry Fitzgerald has tested positive for COVID-19. The great Fitz from the Arizona Cardinals, who adorns our desk every day. So, Larry, you're going into quarantine away from all the other bobbleheads. Safety first here on the Rod Peterson Show. All right, let's go to the video chat now. Gino Ojic joins us from, I can only imagine, Vancouver, along with Marcia McNaughton. How's she going today, guys?
Everything's going good.
Good. Where, and Marcia?
Yeah, are you fantastic. Guys, thanks for having us.
Are you both out in BC?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver, and Marcia's up in Langley, I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
well,
Cloverdale, Surrey area.
I'll start with you, Gino, as if I need to introduce you, but 605 games in the National Hockey League, mostly with the Vancouver Canucks. He's a Quebecer, Maniwaki, Quebec, played with the Laval Teton, fifth-round pick of the Vancouver Canucks in 1990, and onto those 605 games. And there's a movement. Marcia, I'm going to start with you, actually. There's a movement afoot here to get Gino into the Canucks' Ring of Honor. Can you talk about how this started and where it's at as we sit here today? Because I understand the BC government's gotten on board with this.
Yeah, that part's been great. Well, you know, it just kind of started a while back, Gino and I chatting with our friend Peter as well, saying, you know, gosh, he should really be up there. And they've kind of bugged the alumni and stuff, saying, hey, put him up. And I kind of joked around and said, do you mind if I start a Twitter page and do a little push and see how it goes? And Gino said, yeah, give her. If you can make it happen, that'd be awesome.
So, Gino, how do you feel? Because, you know, it's tough to start a campaign like this. It looks like the Canucks have been receptive to it. But what's your take on this campaign?
Well, you know, I agreed with Marcia to give it a go, to give Stan Smeal and the voting committee a jolt. And I never thought it would be so big. Once Marcia started, I started getting messages from Vancouver, from Long Island, Philadelphia, Montreal, all over the country, in Canada and the United States. And I just couldn't believe how big it got so quick.
Well, once you get on there, because I have a feeling it's going to happen, I'll say congratulations then. But, you know, what are you most proud of with your NHL career? With the passing of Freddie Sisakamoos this week, which, by the way, was a friend of mine, there's the First Nations connection. But just getting to the NHL is something to be proud of in itself. You know, what are you most proud of your NHL career?
I think the work that I've done outside the rink, being involved in First Nations community. As soon as I got to Vancouver, the head scout was Ron DeLorme, and he really pushed and emphasized on us to give back, doing hockey schools, visiting communities, and really just teaching the young people that it's possible to make it, even if you're First Nations.
I tell you what, I miss seeing Ron DeLorme, by the way. I miss seeing all the scouts, but I haven't seen the guy that we affectionately called Chief for a long time. You know, with Freddie Sisakamoos, were you aware of him coming up, by the way, Gino, just of that whole First Nations hockey community? Were you aware of him before you got to the NHL, or at what point did he come on your radar?
As soon as I got to Vancouver, Ron DeLorme started talking about him. And for me, growing up, my role model was Stan Jonathan. He was First Nations, played in Boston, and I wanted to be Stan Jonathan. So I got the fighting part going. I just never got the 27 goals in one season.
He was something for the Bruins, and I thank Don Cherry, frankly, because he was a little before my time, but Grapes made sure you knew who Stan Jonathan was if you didn't. Marcia, your take on this. Gino has just mentioned what it means to him to be honored by the Canucks in that way, if they deem it fitting. What made you want to spearhead this, and what has Gino meant to yourself and to the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, well, I mean, Gino and I have been friends for, I don't know, 10 or so years now. And it's when he was sick, you know, you saw the outpouring of community support when he was in the hospital. You know, anytime he goes out anywhere, you know, everybody's so happy to see him. You know, you chant his name everywhere you go. That doesn't happen in Vancouver, for any other player for that matter, that especially in Canada that I know of. So I think it's time, you know. Sure, people argue about should an enforcer be there or not. It's not just about being an enforcer. That was the part of the game that he played. But it's more about what he's done for the community, what he's done for First Nations, and the love that people have for him here in Vancouver.
Oh, man. You know what? You're actually giving me chills now that I think about watching Hockey Night in Canada. And Darren, you would have watched those. Gino, in Pacific Coliseum. What, Gino, what did that feel like, man? What did it feel like?
That was amazing. I made a connection with the fans as soon as I got there. My first NHL game, I played against Chicago, and I got in the fight with Dave Manson, and then I took on Stu Grimson at the end of the game. And from that day on, me and the fans had a great connection. So it was amazing.
Actually, I was going to ask you what you think that connection was, but you just, for whatever reason, They always love the heavyweights, right? The Tiger Williams of the worlds and the Mansos, as you say. Now, when you went on to the Islanders, Flyers, and Habs, incidentally, your home province, did you feel any of the connection in those markets and stops, or was it just Vancouver that was extra special?
I had a good go in Montreal. I probably played the best hockey I've ever played, and it was my home province. So, you know, I was very popular there, but nothing like it was in Vancouver.
Yeah. Gino, what is the state of First Nations hockey, by the way, in terms of them playing it, the youth? There's a lot of camps out here, by the way, and Ethan Bear from Ochapaway's First Nations, a good friend of ours, plays with the Edmonton Oilers. What's it like in your area, First Nations hockey youth?
Well, the arena in Maniwaki, where I'm from, is closed down. There's no hockey at all. They're talking about maybe January or February. So the kids are finding it tough. They got to go drive 2 hours to go to Ottawa or Gatineau, and the parents are not allowed in. They can't watch their kids. So the parents are finding it hard. But at least some of them are getting ice time, but it's been tough.
Well, once we get through the pandemic, hopefully things change fast in that regard. By the way, Robin in Prince Albert writes in and says, Gino's a class act. Met him in 2007 at a reffing the NAHC in Prince Albert. He was coaching a male team, I believe it was called. That's from Robin in Prince Albert. Marcia, how can our viewers now, that if they haven't met Gino or had a chance to hear from him, obviously they fell in love with him if they didn't already, how can they support the campaign here?
Well, I think what I would like most is for the voting crew of Stan Smeal and the alumni guys and Francesco Aquilini, who I believe has the final say, to just be reaching out to them and keep going on social media. You having us on the Canada-wide stage is awesome. We've pretty much just been in BC and, of course, had the premier pump us up a little bit, so that's great. But social media is where they're seeing everything right now. So we have a hashtag, Gino for the ROH. And I just tag Mr. Aquilini all the time, the poor guy, and as well as the alumni. And I really wish Stan Smeal had a Twitter account because I'd be all over him too.
Good old steamer. Well, Michelle Shaw's watching and says, I used to rock my Gino jersey to every Canucks game I went to. So I know the impact that you had out there with the Canucks fans, Gino, and I'll just say congratulations on that. That's something they can never take away. But congratulations on getting on the ring, because I feel it's going to happen. And that's Aquilini's fault for having a Twitter account,
don't
by the way.
Us. Don't jinx us.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. I got you. Well, we're doing our part here. Let's put it that way. And when it happens, I can't wait to tune in. Guys, thanks for the time today. Good luck. And don't be strangers, please.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us. Great. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. You too. Well, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
They do always love the enforcers, which are there enforcers anymore? Really?
Not in the same.
What were we talking about last night? Was it at the slow pitch? We were talking about Jeff Odgers.
Yeah.
We've both done hockey games with Odgie, right, for the WHL on Shaw. And he said that he played in the best era of the National Hockey League. Jeff Odgers from Spy Hill, Saskatchewan. You all know him, love him. Former captain of the Atlanta Thrashers. Do you want to say why?
He played in the best era. He said, you know, there was still a role for the enforcer. Salaries were starting to get good, and there was no camera phones.
Exact. Ding, ding, ding.
Life was great. Life was great.
Actually, how that came up, we were playing slow pitch last night, my last career game at Ballers, the Great Western Indoor Slow Pitch League, and there was a talk about Michael Jordan. The guys were telling the story. That's what it was. And Ronick came in and stuff, and Jordan played on that era too.
Yep.
Same thing. And how these players these days just can't get away with anything, because Jordan was legendary for exploits off the court. So then it kept that. Was it you that brought up Odgers?
Yeah.
And he goes, best era, 90s. No cell phone cameras. Money was good. And it was the last era of the enforcers.
Yeah.
That was the third point of the trifecta right there.
Yeah.
But please tell me, folks, I watch as much hockey as you do. Do you remember any atmosphere in an NHL arena that rivals in the last 20 years what went on at Pacific Coliseum in Vancouver? You do remember that, right, Yuma? Gino, Gino. Like, it's like Rocky, man. That's what they make movies out of.
That's what they make movies out of. And again, what we're trying to do here, whether it's this or the sim or anything we do, we want you to feel something. Sports. I want you to feel something. I don't want you to come to the game knowing your team's going to win. I want you to come to the game thinking your team might lose.
Yeah.
And then when they win, it feels that much better. But it's not about the enforcers beating people up necessarily, and we love the violence. It's the fact that it
could happen.
Any moment. this whole place could come down, and you don't know what's going to happen. That's what's exciting.
And I appreciate the viewers chiming in on this. Joe Lazito in New York says, sadly, there are maybe 5 enforcers left. And Robin and Prince Albert piggybacks that by saying, I think Reeves from Vegas will be the closest to an enforcer we have in the game now. Ryan Reeves is the toughest player in the NHL. And I remember going to Vegas with my brother, who's watching right now, and Joe Lazito said, you pay attention to Reeves. And who was the guy for the Islanders, Joe? Johnston? Ryan Johnston? Something like that? Because we never get any Islanders games ever on TV, so I wouldn't know. Two seconds into the game, it was place going nuts.
Yeah.
Reeves beat him up. So, yeah. There are some. There
I can't
are
come
some.
Up with five.
But
though.
Not every team has one, and there sure as hell aren't 2 or 3.
No, I can't come up with 5. I can't.
Well, you got Reeves. Let's stop there. Caesar writes in, he says, it literally sold tickets seeing Probert come to town. You knew Gino and Probes were going to fight. You didn't know what the score was. Of course not. Ross Johnston, that's what it is. Thank you. But Reeves kicked his ass. Joe says, Roddy, I'm not sure the Nassau Coliseum was ever louder than when Eric Cairns beat a tattoo on Shane Corson. Well, it's not coming back anytime soon, I don't think. Go watch UFC if you want for that, or NLL, or read my series of old school hockey stories that are running at dubnetwork.ca right now.
Yep.
Well, Lauren Mullican and Perry Shockey. But I just hate that we got to sit here and talk about the old days. It makes me feel really old.
I know.
Anyways, we got a sports update coming up. We'll continue more of this fun and frivolity. And we got viewer takeover coming up, too. Can you put up that comment from John O'Flynn when we come back, guys, about that particular style of interview with Marcia and Gino? Because it was great. You're right. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. This show has turned into something that we didn't expect. It's not usually the way. I should have known when I saw Gino Ojic on the docket for today that it would end up evolving into a show about enforcers in hockey. But there just aren't that many left. And Joe Lazito in New York says Ryan Reeves is the champ. Ross Johnston is the number one contender, and then he includes Milan Lucic, Tom Wilson, Matt Martin, Michael Haley. Todd Pinckney brings up Edmonton Oilers chief punk, Zach Cassian. He's pretty tough. He's pretty tough. Reeves is tougher than them all.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Jamie in Halifax staying with us. He says, thankfully, tomorrow is Football Friday, and John Frenzy will provide a great show with Tory Gurley. It'll give us a break from COVID and hockey. I didn't know you wanted a break from hockey. Who needs a break from hockey? Why would you want a break from hockey?
Never. Never.
Bite your tongue, kid. From John O'Flynn in Vancouver. Can you put that up? Thank you. Thank you for bringing in Gino and Marcia for this kind and heart-filled interview on Canada's sports stage. Thank them. Everybody always thanks us for this kind of stuff. They're the ones that made it.
Yeah.
Let's get Gino Ojic on the Canucks Ring of Honor. Frankly, I can't believe he isn't on there already. Sports update, Sam Darnold could be getting closer to returning to the huddle. The New York Jets quarterback was limited in practice, but there's optimism. Darnold's injured right shoulder might be healed in time to play against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday at home. Divisional battle there. Why would you rush him?
Yeah.
It's over anyway.
Season's over. They've already been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, the first team to do so. I don't know. I don't know why you would rush him.
Why would you rush him?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are going with quarterback Mike Glennon against the Cleveland Browns, giving the NFL journeyman his first start in more than 3 years. Jags coach Doug Marrone made the announcement 3 days after he considered benching rookie Jake Luton during a 27-3 loss to unbeaten Pittsburgh. Am I saying Luton correctly?
I think so.
Like literally. The Jaguars are who we thought they were.
Ain't nobody care.
They are steaming garbage. Saturday's Iron Bowl will be without its biggest star. Alabama coach Nick Saban has tested positive for COVID-19 ahead of the Crimson Tide's game with the number 22 Auburn Tigers. Offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian will oversee preparations within the football building and then lead the team on game day. Steve Sarkisian, a former Saskatchewan Roughrider, friend of mine, OC with the Alabama Crimson Tide. We got to get Sark on the show. Although he's kind of gotten pretty, become a big deal since he left.
He's a little busy. A little busy this week. But he'd be great.
Seems to have lost my number.
Yeah.
Which hasn't changed since 1999. Canadian Marcus Carr matched an NCAA career high with 35 points, and his Minnesota Golden Gophers cruised to a 99-69 victory over the Green Bay Phoenix Thursday night. Carr was 12 of 22 from the floor, made four three-pointers. The strangest anticipated season in college basketball history tipped off last night with dozens of games at arenas across America where the science is different. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina. I'll be going there to watch some NFL after this show. For Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See at Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have with seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. I want to, a little early, get into the viewer takeover portion of the show. I wasn't going to update the early game, which just kicked off, by the way, but why not update it?
Yeah.
Zero, zero. Hello, score app. Oh, it's 0-0. I said these weren't two great NFL matchups today, by the way. Cowboys, Washington, Lions, Texans. I said the Cowboys-Washington game would be like watching two old people make love. Not that exciting.
You cleaned it up for TV.
I cleaned it up. Anonymous texter from the 403 writes in and says, love your comment about like watching two old folks have sex. In these crazy times, I say it's better than none at all.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
Watching it or having it, I don't understand. Genghis Smith writes in and says, morning, boys, from Detroit, Michigan. Well, how hearty of you to say good morning, because I know where you are. It's the afternoon. That's quite nice of you.
Watching our show, the Lions are playing right now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He'd rather watch this
than the Lions. That's when you know they're bad.
Well, you literally know. You have no idea what's going to happen on this show. You got a pretty good idea what's going to happen on that show. bad football.
That's right.
From Nova Scotia, that's the 902 area code. Who is the toughest Saskatchewan-born hockey player in the NHL? Tiger Williams. Don't waste my time. You care to argue that?
Nope.
That's my line from City Slickers. Ben and Jerry's. Remember? Don't waste my time.
Don't waste my time.
Who did you say? Gordie Howe. Listen, he set an all-time points record. Gordie is not known for being a fighter. I'm not going to say Gordie Howe isn't tough. But what, we got to give him the points record and the toughest record and every other record? No. Tiger Williams is the all-time penalty minutes leader in the National Hockey League. It's not going to be broken now.
No, it's not.
Nobody's going to touch that. Tiger Williams, toughest player to come out of Saskatchewan ever. Change my mind. Listen, if Gordy and Tiger fought, Gordy might win. Like, I get that. But just over the course of a career.
Yeah. And the only other two other names that really come to mind, Joey Koser maybe, the Kelvington kid, or Wendell Clark as being tough, but not what the really defined Tiger was.
It's a lot of tough guys. Are you kidding me? The Kosers and Wendell, all the Clark brothers.
Yeah.
Keller Kaminsky might beat all the asses. Garrett Andre says Tiger Williams is a bum rod. I tell you what, Garrett, why don't you go tell him that? There'll be nothing left of you but spitting fingernails, believe me. Over in Manitoba, Randy Robert Rath. Heard Chris Streveler might get the start for Arizona if Murray can't go. Wouldn't that be something? I heard Kyler, what's his deal? He doesn't have COVID, right?
No.
Something else wrong. One word out of Arizona, though. Larry Fitzgerald has COVID. He tested positive. They announced it today. We've separated Larry from all the other bobbleheads. He's in self-quarantine over here. We're going to take a timeout and come back. We'll continue this. Why not, eh? Joe Lazito in New York says, isn't Dave Brown from Saskatchewan? He'd eat Tiger for lunch. Do you think those guys, could we set it up now?
Ooh.
A pandemic cage match, a brawl for it all.
That'd be cool.
Hell in a cell. The only rules are there are no rules.
I'm in.
You know they'd all do it.
Oh, for sure they would.
Well, think about it in the break and get back to you. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV, live across North America in over 1.2 million homes on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Apparently that clip made TSN this morning again, that all-time kids bloopers.
Oh.
With Brian Mitchell's kid on this show. What do you think of Tom Brady coming to play with your dad in Tampa?
I just hope he doesn't cheat.
Whoops. It is viewer takeover time. Was saying with Clark earlier and Dupes here in a break, we need to do a face-off for the Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek. And Clark said the whole show has been a bit of face-off. Hey, there's no specific one that we faced off. We faced off on everything.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you something about the Mad Greek. Visit the Mad Greek in Moose Jaw for the best authentic Greek cuisine. Available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com. And for the Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, built by fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. People say they love my wardrobe. Well, you can go buy it at the Ultimate Fan Zone. It's like what Jersey City used to be, because Jersey City is mostly just hats now. Ultimate Fan Zone has everything. Notice how everybody's backing off their comments now on so-and-so's a bum, this guy's not tough. Have you noticed that?
Me, no disrespect.
Joe's pretty tough. Joe's probably tougher than all of them. Joe Lazito. But don't worry, these guys can handle it. But the problem is, I've never really got the psychology of a fighter. I don't. They're some of my closest friends, but I don't get what makes you want to beat the hell out of another human being. For free. Like, I can get why you do it to be paid.
Right. But just for fun? Doesn't sound like my idea of a good time. It's just not.
We're the wrong guys to ask.
We are the wrong guys to ask.
Garrett says, that's a real ugly shirt you got on there, Rod. Go Lions! BC Lions! From Vancouver. I don't think this is an ugly shirt. The team's ugly. We got this in Houston when we were there last year. This is official sideline wear. Yeah. I bought it in the store, believe me, but I just love wearing team gear.
Yeah.
Did I have more text? I had a full phone here. Oh, I stopped on the one from Nova Scotia because he said, who's the toughest Saskatchewan-born NHLer? And I, started a melee.
I know.
A brouhaha.
It didn't it?
A Donnybrook. Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta says, my pick would be John Ferguson for all-time enforcer. Do you even remember John Ferguson? He's pretty tough.
Only a little bit.
Montreal Canadian. Yeah, I get it. And he was the GM of the Winnipeg Jets, was he not? That's the tough part about, yeah, well, you're the Leafs fan. Is John Ferguson Jr.'s dad. That's who he is.
Yeah. That's who I remember, right? I remember Junior. I don't remember John Ferguson.
Jeff, the Stampeders fan, says the only cage fight anybody wants to see is Rod versus a current or a certain quarterback. We discussed this last night at the Slow Pitch at Ballers, and Clark said that there was a local radio show in this province that brought Bo on, and Bo's stipulation was, I'll come on, but don't ask me about Rod Peterson. Here's what I love, Jeff, the Stamps fan, and you're really going to love tomorrow because it's a Flame Tech Football Friday. But I know Calgary so well, having lived there, have so many friends and family there. I know that it probably gets brought up to Bo every day. Me. Just driving his bus. Beep, beep. So, no, I don't want to make... Everybody's telling me you got to make up with Bo. Why? Why? He doesn't want to. I don't really want to. It's one of the CFL's great rivalries. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's what made the WWF so fun. Stuff like that.
You need a heel.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's him.
And on the other side, it's you, right? Like, if for every story, it's great.
Every story needs a good guy.
Yeah.
That's me. He's the bad guy. Can you put up the comment from Randy Rath, please, in Manitoba? He says, so it is true, Rod. The SJHL, SJHL, BCHL are all on hold for now, like the MJHL. Western Hockey League could still be delayed. I hope the World Juniors is still a go. We need this for a Christmas break. Oh, I agree. Because one thing that we've learned, there's not many things that can stop the coronavirus, but money trumps all. And that's what's got the NFL playing. That's what's got NCAA sports playing. And that's what will get the World Junior playing. They got the TSN money behind it. They've got the Hockey Canada money behind it, the IIHF behind it. They will play. Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan. Remember him from like a minute ago? He says, I doubt Bo thinks of it too many minutes a day. Well, here's what I know. You do. we do it all day. We can do it all day.
That's good.
Robin in Prince Albert. Rod has Bo Levi. And Dunk has Cody. Sounds like a tag team match. Now that would be pay-per-view. Because I don't, listen, we'll get into this tomorrow. Where we'll reserve the whole day for football. Fridays are reserved for football. And the football island concept, I don't think they're playing in Canada with crowds in the CFL. So to put, I'm not talking about a tag man. I'm not fighting. I'm 47. He's a pro quarterback. You think I'm stupid? I'm not fighting Bo Levi. Give me a break. Fake or otherwise. But they got to do some pay-per-view stuff, some skills competition stuff. There's a lot of stuff they got to do. It is a Flame Tech Football Friday tomorrow, and it's going to be awesome. John Frenzy's going to be with us. Delvin Bro, formerly of the New Orleans Saints, now of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And Tori Gurley, our NFL insider. That is at noon Eastern tomorrow or 10 a.m. Central right here, Facebook Live. Jordan has the bladder of a camel.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.